from the Georgia Southern Sports Network, powered by Learfield. This is Inside Eagle Nation, the official podcast of Georgia Southern Athletics.
Strike three called. It is well with my soul at J.I. Clement Stadium.
Your all-access look into Eagle athletics is Inside Eagle Nation.
Toogie with one, a three, and a win it! Got it!
Let's go to the Learfield studios. Here are your hosts, Colin Lacey and Danny Reed.
Welcome into another edition of Inside Eagle Nation, your official podcast for Georgia Southern Athletics. Colin Lacey alongside our great voice of the Eagles, Danny Reed, as we get set
for another edition. Whoa, where'd that come from?
I don't know.
Where did that come from?
I was just trying to switch it up because you say you know everything I say to start.
Look, I don't have any money, so that's not going to earn you anything extra.
We're the same. You're fresh off a flight from the Lone Star State after splitting the weekend down in Texas with Georgia Southern men's basketball and got in early as far as our standards go. Most people wouldn't say early, but got home before midnight.
The direct flight from Dallas to Savannah was very, very nice. But walking in the house before midnight after a road game that day, I don't know that we've done that before. And that was even after we chartered from Louisiana 2 weeks earlier, but that was a late game. Arlington, we played at 2 o'clock local on Saturday. But we had to hustle to get to the airport, smooth everything getting back in, pulled into Hanford Fieldhouse, went home, and we were in before midnight.
Well, how about that?
So a true full Sunday back in Statesboro, had a chance to catch up with Eagle baseball in their doubleheader against East Carolina. But otherwise, it would have been pulling in 2, 3 in the morning and then trying to remember what day it actually was. And then just kind of stumbling through that Sunday.
Especially in this part of our schedule where we've got baseball and basketball overlap, there's a lot of times where I'll wake up in the morning and be like, okay, is today Tuesday? Monday. It's almost like I'm in Central Time all the time.
Oh, it's it's not just what sport are we doing, but it's what day is it and where are we?
Pretty much. As always, this week's edition of Inside Eagle Nation is presented by our good friends at Arcola Septic. Arcola Septic is your premier septic services provider to Bullock, Bryan, and adjoining counties, and a great family-owned business that's run by a pair of Georgia Southern alumni. Make sure to give them a call at 912-318-7939 or visit them online at arcolaseptic.com. For both commercial and residential customers, their more than 10 years of experience can help you out with pumping and servicing your septic system, drain field repairs, new system installation, and all of your septic needs. Remember to follow them on Facebook, Arcola Septic, yesterday's Meals on Wheels. As we get set for another busy edition of Inside Eagle Nation, we start, as always, with men's golf. They were actually off last week, but
had to get them in there. Had to have to start with men's golf.
No doubt. We got to catch up with Carter Collins earlier on this week.
We made a deal with him. We start with men's golf.
Gonna see Carter Collins on Coach's Corner on Blue White Weekly coming up in a couple of weeks. Again, Blue White Weekly goes out on Wednesday afternoons on Fox Sports Southeast. Catch that all over the Southeast. 15 million homes that show goes into.
That many? You counted?
Most of them.
Okay.
It's hard to believe you and I go into 15 million homes. It's odd to think about. It's like Santa.
Except, as we've established, I don't have any money, so I can't give anybody presents.
True. Men's golf was off last week. They will head to Buford on Monday and Tuesday for the Colleton River Collegiate. Women's golf finished up in the Amelia Island Collegiate, finished 8 of the field of 15. They will be off until March 9th and 10th when they head down to Jacksonville for the UNF Collegiate. Men's tennis, a little bit of news coming out earlier on in the week as head coach Sander Koenig was announced that he has the second most victories of any men's tennis coach in Georgia Southern history.
And he's another one we're going to hear from in a couple of weeks on Blue White Weekly. It's really nice to get a chance to visit with our fall, winter, and spring sports coaches as we progress towards the end of the athletic season. He is somebody that's developed some consistency. They've been really good over at the Wallace Tennis Center, and now he's one of the best to ever do it here.
Men's tennis was in action in two matches up in Greenville, North Carolina. They fell to Bryant 4-3 on Saturday, and then on Sunday dropped one to the East Carolina Pirates 4-2, the final against ECU. They will return home Saturday against South Florida, and then on Sunday it'll be UNC Wilmington at the Wallace Tennis Center just outside of Hanner Fieldhouse. Georgia Southern women's tennis had two matches at the Wallace Tennis Center this past week, dropped one to Florida Gulf Coast 4-3 on Saturday, and then got the victory over Presbyterian 6-1 on Sunday. They will hit the road again on Friday to Jacksonville as they battled UNF, and then head up I-75 from Jacksonville to Macon to take on the Mercer Bears on Sunday. Georgia Southern Rifle finished up the regular season at the NCAA qualifier in Charleston on Sunday. Now, only competed with three shooters, so the team score didn't count overall, but Gabby Morrow had personal best in four events and tied her personal best in two others, as they will look ahead to the SoCon Championships actually held at the Shooting Sports Education Center in Statesboro.
Very nice.
March 7th. In the 8th. Georgia Southern Swimming and Diving was at the CCSA Championships, in which they placed 8th. Jessica Ware and Claudia Holt swam a lifetime best twice, once in the prelims and once in the finals of the 200 meter. Georgia Southern Softball in action. We talked about it last week, how it was supposed to be 6 games over the span of 3 days. It ended up being 4 games over the span of 3 days. Mother Nature just won't cooperate with Georgia Southern baseball or softball.
We'll get to baseball having their weather adventure here in just a minute. But the good thing is that softball performed pretty well.
Split the weekend, fell on Friday to Evansville 14-8, and then battled back in a big-time way on Saturday. Got the victory 13-2, a final in 5 innings, had a 12-run bottom of the 4th inning.
I guess they saw that the baseball team got 15 in an inning against Ball State the weekend before, so they almost were able to get to that.
On Sunday, they fell to Maryland 4-2, and then got the victory over Furman to split the weekend 5-1 over the Paladins.
And that gets Kim Dean to 99 career wins now, I believe.
Correct. She will have a chance to break the century mark against South Carolina on Wednesday in Columbia, 5 o'clock the first pitch. And then they will head over to Auburn, Alabama to the 2020 Auburn Tiger Invite. They'll take on Binghamton and Auburn on Friday, Minnesota and Binghamton on Saturday, and then the Auburn Tigers on Sunday. A couple of those games on the SEC Network Plus. And I'm just, with a softball schedule, I'm going to stop giving first pitch times because I think I'm 0 for about 12 so far on the season.
Yeah, but you can't control the weather.
Well, I know, but the weather can control us.
Especially this time of year.
Think about that one.
Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and sometimes it rains.
Is that an Andy Solomon?
No, that's from Bull Durham.
Oh. It sounds like an Andy Solomon.
You've seen Bull Durham.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Very end.
Yeah.
Where Nukalush makes it to the bigs and he's doing his first interview. I don't know what stadium he's in or what team he's on because they never say it. All they just say is, hey, you're going up to the big club. It's like it's this huge club that everybody's on the same team. But that's where the line comes from. Sometimes
okay.
You win, sometimes you lose, and sometimes it rains.
There you
Think
go.
About that.
Georgia Southern women's basketball was in action inside Hanner Fieldhouse. Two games this weekend against the Carolina schools looking for a little bit of revenge. They would drop the game on Thursday to Coastal Carolina, 90-74. Tatum Barber with 31 points becomes just one of 17 Georgia Southern women's basketball players all time to have a 30-plus point performance. But this game was dominated by Asia Blunt down low. 29 points in the paint for Coastal Carolina and Asia Blunt. DJ Williams, of course, got her 20-plus points.
But you held her to 21.
Yeah, that's a good day.
You held her at 21.
That's a good day when you hold DJ Williams to 21.
That's her being the player of the week after the 50-point game the week before, the triple-double. That seems like that's got to be some kind of victory.
Hey, it worked out.
Yeah. For them.
Yeah, but Coastal got the victory 90-74. Then Georgia Southern would take on Appalachian State on senior night inside Hanner Fieldhouse. You would have 6 Georgia Southern seniors as Nikki McDonald, the grad transfer from La Tech, along with 5 other Georgia Southern seniors that have been here all 4 years with Alexis Brown, Haley Dias Allen, Amira Atwater, Nicole Franks, and Victoria Stavropoulos. A cool moment at the beginning of the game after all the ceremonies to honor those 6 along with Georgia Southern women's basketball manager Zach Jones. But a cool moment at the beginning of the game had been decided between the officiating crew, Appalachian State, and Georgia Southern coaching staffs that Appalachian State was going to win the tip, go down, have a layup. They did all that. It was a 2-0 App lead. Then Georgia Southern got the basketball, Amira Atwater passed it to Nicole Franks on the right block, up and in. Only reason that is significant is Nicole Franks a couple of weeks ago had a season-ending injury, tore her ACL a couple of weeks ago and has been out and will be out for the remainder of the season. But on senior night, got her in, started the game, her 99th career game for Georgia Southern, and got the first 2 points, and it ends up being her last 2 points of her Georgia Southern career.
And the fact that Amira could be the one on the assist, because who else is it going to be?
Right.
With the assist. Just as a personal thing, with those five, when we had doubleheaders, I was watching them for the first couple of years, but we haven't been stacked with each other these last two seasons. That just blows my mind that they're finished.
Yeah.
That those five. Because I can remember watching all of them coming in and thinking, all right, this is going to be the future of Georgia Southern women's basketball. And look, I know they went through a coaching change, and I can't imagine what that's like for them to try to play to a level that they want to when they're trying to do things a certain way. But they stuck it out.
It's so crazy to me that this group is gone, and I think we say that about every group of seniors, but I can vividly remember talking to former Georgia Southern women's basketball staffer Toby Wagner, who is now up at Reinhardt doing a lot of good things. He just made the automatic bid to the NAIA National Tournament.
Awesome.
But I can remember talking with Toby just a couple of years ago of Tukey Sisters coming. She just signed with us, and she's going to be pretty special. Well, he wasn't wrong.
Yeah. You know, she's gone from being Tukey's sister to being, he's now Alexis's brother, right. Or Pumpkin's brother.
Yeah. But Georgia Southern would get the victory 78-70 as Amira Atwater with 8 assists in the ballgame, now 7 shy of the Georgia Southern all-time career record. And talking to her post-game, I asked her what it meant to be a part of over 400 career assists now. She picked that up against ULM a couple of weeks ago, and now being just 7 shy of the overall school record. And she's like, it means my teammates were making buckets. That might be the most Amira answer I've ever heard.
You could say that she's passed the ball that many times, but her passes have directly led to more than 400 baskets. That's a different way to look at that, but for somebody that can score, you think, okay, you just look at the points. You don't look at how many times they've made shots or how many free throws or whatever. Amir's quick thinking and ability to put the ball where it needs to be has been directly responsible for a large portion of Georgia Southern's offense the last 4 seasons.
Definitely going to be missed, all 6 of those Georgia Southern women's basketball players coming up next year. But Georgia Southern men's basketball was on the road as they hit the Lone Star Swing against Texas State. Fell 70-55 on Thursday to the Texas State Bobcats, and it was a game talking with you after the game. The first half did not go the way of Georgia Southern in any way, shape, or form. Then tried to battle back in the second half, but just kind of too much of a hole.
No, it weren't very good those first 20 minutes. Texas State was red hot. They had won 9 of their last 11 going into that contest. They built a 25-point lead, but it wasn't as if they were just doing that to Georgia Southern. They haven't trailed their last 4 games. They have not trailed 1 second their last 4 games.
Wow.
So they're burning hot. And even though Georgia Southern outscored them in the second half, outshot them in the second half and forced 9 turnovers, it's as if the Eagles were trying to hop into a Lamborghini to catch up to them, but they were still in a Ferrari. They were just setting the pace way too far out there. Not known as a jump shooting team, they made 3s. They out-rebounded Georgia Southern. And the important thing they did was they had physicality early, and the Eagles simply couldn't match it. But in a way, it was beneficial to have a game like that because Saturday afternoon, they were expecting that kind of game against UT Arlington. And as we will talk about, the result was much, much different.
Before we dive into UT Arlington, how's Bitlin Brandt?
Wonderful. Just top-notch, as always.
Georgia Southern then headed up to the College Park Center in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Got the victory 81-61. And at the end of the day, the scores don't really matter all that much as long as you get a win. But I think a 20-point win over a UT Arlington team is just what the doctor ordered for this club.
I will be totally honest with you. I can't figure this team out. I've watched them all season. Cannot figure them out. I think they're capable of beating anyone anywhere. They just proved that. But they're also capable of the inability to finish, and we've seen that multiple times this year. I know the Georgia State game and the Appalachian State game are going to stick out right away because they happen here, and for a lot of people, those are maybe the only two games that they've been to live in 2020. But the way that Georgia Southern's frustration showed on Thursday, that's how excited and motivated they were on Saturday afternoon. They delivered the punch right away. They just defended. They locked down and didn't let Arlington get to the rim. UTA is a team that likes to drive and score close to the rim. They can make some threes, but they want to get as close to the basket as possible. Georgia Southern gave up 8 points in the paint against Arlington. Coach Byington said in Scout, for 2 days, no layups, no layups, no layups. Arlington made three all game. That's a season low allowed by the Eagles. They made their shots as well. The Eagles were 8 of 16 from 3. Quan Jackson had a career-high 26 points, made enough free throws down the stretch, and it was a complete effort, and it was one that they had to have because after the loss Thursday, they were now tied for fourth with South Alabama, who's red-hot as well. Them and Texas State, probably the two hottest teams in the league. They're going to play on March 3rd in Mobile to wrap up the season, which could force some tie-breaking scenarios. It could dramatically affect seeding in that top four. But if Georgia Southern didn't rebound, they would have been on the outside looking in and possibly looking as low as a seventh seed. But with that victory, winning by 20, they're back in play for a two seed. Now, a lot needs to happen for them to get the two, but they can finish anywhere between second and sixth with two games left in the regular season. I'll put it as simply as I can. Number one, if Georgia Southern is second, they're going to go to New Orleans automatically in the semifinals. 1 and 2 get that automatic bye to play at the Smoothie King Center, and they're going to get more than a week and a half off to prep for whoever they're going to play. If they finish anywhere else from 3 through 6, they're guaranteed one home game. Now, if they're 5 or 6, they're going to get that home game in the second round, but they'd have to go on the road for the quarterfinals. If they're 3-4, they'll get that one home game in the quarters and be able to play somebody that has already played twice within a week, needing that one win to get to New Orleans. Still nowhere close to figuring out where Georgia Southern is going to be seeded because it's that close when you go from really second down to about seventh. But the good thing is, with that victory, Georgia Southern cannot finish any lower than sixth.
Georgia Southern women's basketball, a big weekend as well as far as standings are concerned. But for Georgia Southern women's basketball, it's kind of hanging on to the Sun Belt Conference Tournament. A lot like what you just talked about, how the top two teams in women's basketball side will go directly to the Smoothie King Center to the semifinals. But for the women's side, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, how the bracket's a little bit different, where you almost have two different regional styles, where the 3 seed and the 4 seed will host 3 other teams.
This is the pod without being the pod.
Right.
And I like this. I like this idea.
Yeah, this isn't a bad idea, especially as far as travel is concerned.
Right.
Because you can get all kinds of in the weeds the way the men's basketball has to do it. You've got to could have a team that has to go to 2 or 3 different sites, 2 or 3 different states in the span of a week and a half.
Oh, if you're playing on that Saturday as a 10 seed, you know that you're automatically on the road for as much as you win.
Yeah.
And you have to go to 2 more places that you don't know where you're going over the next 5 days. So that's a stressor. But if you're a higher seed like Georgia Southern is now guaranteed to be, you may go on the road once, but that's not going to be until the end of the week. But you know you're guaranteed to host at least a game, depending on if they don't finish as the two.
But for women's basketball, sitting right now tied in 9th place with Appalachian State, you've got Texas State coming up. Texas State is a team that has only had 3 conference wins so far on the season. They come into the week 3-11. But 2 of those 3 have come in the last week and a half.
They're hot.
And so you've got Brooke Holly.
Big Z's got them playing at the right time,
I guess.
We actually saw them because it was a doubleheader against Arlington on Saturday. We were the opening act. After that, UTA hosted Texas State. So after we got finished practicing on Friday, Texas State had the main gym. I actually held the door for Coach Antoine.
Well, there you go.
I mean, she didn't know who I was. I knew who she was.
There it is.
It's but immaterial, whatever.
A lot of implications coming in the next week for Georgia Southern women's basketball as far as staying in the Sun Belt Conference tournament. And just over 2 weeks from now, hard to believe it's almost tournament time in the Sun Belt Conference.
What's going to make it different, though, is the fact that not everybody's going to New Orleans.
Yes.
Before it was, okay, we know the top 8 or the top 10 are guaranteed to go to the destination. But now, the way it's structured, especially for the men, only 2 teams for sure know by the end of the regular season that they're going, and the other 2 have to earn their way to New Orleans. So it's a tournament, but it's campus sites, which is what a lot of other mid-major conferences have done. And there are pros and cons to both. But I'm curious to see how this ends up rolling. Especially with all those trips that people are going to have to take that they just don't know where they're going yet.
It's the time of season that Dobos hate.
They don't sleep. They wear out the buttons on their cell phone. If they still have buttons on their cell phone, they could have the clear screen and the touch and all that.
What are you looking back on, a Motorola Razr?
It's the image I'm trying to get. I don't know.
All right. I hear you.
They need unlimited minutes on their cell phones at this time of year.
Georgia Southern Baseball was on the road as well for their first action away from J.I. Clement Stadium this season. And it was only to number 16 in the country, the East Carolina Pirates up in Greenville, North Carolina. It was not the way that Georgia Southern wanted it to go, as East Carolina swept the three-game series. The first time that Georgia Southern has been swept in a three-game series since 2018, when South Alabama did it down at Eddie Stanky Field. But on, well, it's supposed to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Because of snow and a lot of it.
Snow.
Yeah, snow.
Not rain.
No.
Snow.
Yes.
They put up pictures on social media. They built snowmen. They threw snowballs. It was snow up in Greenville, North Carolina.
Yes. But because of snow, initially it got pushed to a doubleheader on Saturday and a single game on Sunday. Then they realized, oh, we got more snow than we thought. So it was a single game on Saturday and then turned into a double dip on Sunday. So game one of the series on Saturday, it was just dominated by Alec Burleson. Guy that goes 8 innings strong, 2 hits, no runs, no walks, 7 strikeouts, over 81 pitches. And oh, by the way, he had an RBI double in the first inning. Mike Grace talked about it, and a great job by Mike all weekend long.
Yes.
On the call. But he is going to be one of the best two-way players in the country.
That's who we specifically talked about leading into the East Carolina series. We knew about Burleson. We knew he was a preseason All-American. It's one thing to go 8 shutout in a career-long outing, but it's another thing to help your own cause, like you're a National League pitcher in the first inning with an RBI double. And it set the tone for ECU those 3 games because they scored in the first inning all 3 times. And it really helped them in the back end of the doubleheader on Sunday. But even in game one, as close as it was, if ECU doesn't get out with those 2 in the first inning, who knows, maybe it is Georgia Southern's game.
Georgia Southern will be held off the scoreboard in the ballgame and be shut out 3-0 in game number one. Then it would turn to the doubleheader on Sunday as game number one. Tyler Smith would get the ball for East Carolina. Braden Hayes, who had a quality start in this ballgame, 6 innings of 3-run baseball. All 3 runs coming in the first 2 innings. It was a 2-run bomb off the bat of Thomas Francisco, the cleanup hitter for East Carolina, that got the 2 in the first. Then an RBI double by Ryder Giles in the second, which that may be one of the best baseball names that I've heard this year.
Yeah, that's up there. Another two-way guy. He ended up pitching in the first game of the doubleheader.
But after Georgia Southern got down 3-0 in the second, Braden Hayes really put it into cruise control. Mike Grace talked about it, how it almost seemed like he started working a lot faster, yeah, getting the ball on the rubber. Let's go.
That's what we could see from the video. He got to a point where, all right, he was down 3-0 after those first 2 innings, and then he just decided, look, I've got what I've got. I've got to do it, and I've got to do it quickly. He kept ECU off balance. He started getting quick outs. Jacob Parker came in. And he was pretty impressive those 2 innings. He was mid-90s with the fastball at times. Then he snapped off a pretty wicked slider that got multiple swings and misses. And then all the while, Georgia Southern is building their comeback. Mason McWhorter was hit with the bases loaded with 2 outs. Parker Beatier had his first career hit. That drove in a run to cut it to 3-2. And it looked like Georgia Southern was going to be in position to do something in the 9th inning with the big bats coming up. But Giles, with that lower arm slot and that frisbee-like slider, Eagles couldn't get anything else against him.
Giles would come in, retire all 4 batters he faced in an inning and a third. Georgia Southern would fall in game number one of the doubleheader, game two of the series, by a final of 3-2 to East Carolina. And then on game three of the series, game number two of the doubleheader, East Carolina jumped out to a 4-0 lead in the first inning. They would tack on 6 more in the third inning, and that would be all she wrote for Georgia Southern, as they would add 1 in each the 6th and the 7th inning. And Chandler Davis,
yeah,
coming in off the bench, cold, as you would imagine, because it snowed. But Chandler, sorry, I had
yeah,
to.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Chandler Davis comes in, pinch hit, home run in the 6th inning, the first of his Eagle career, off the scoreboard in right field. Then the next inning in the 7th, with 2 runners on, he drives in Mason McWhorter with an RBI single.
Look, for the last year and a half, we've watched Chandler Davis do this in batting practice, and we've been waiting for this in the game. We've talked multiple times with Alan Beck that Davis may have the prettiest left-handed swing on this team, but it's a matter of being able to do what happens in practice in a live game. Career high two hits, first career home run, Georgia Southern's first pinch hit homer since McWhorter had his against UT Arlington last March, and I know the issue was decided, but you have to think, with Georgia Southern trying to find a designated hitter with Noah Ledford out for still a few more weeks with the injury, maybe Davis has earned himself a couple of starts this week as the Eagles get set for a four-game week.
And you look at a guy like Cody Shook, who had a lot of opportunities this week up in Greenville, had a couple of drawn walks late in the ball game when you're down 10-0, 10-1, all you're looking for is base runners. Cody Shook gave you that with a couple of walks in his relief role. And what he's done, we've talked about a lot of what we've talked about with Chandler Davis with Cody Shook. He's a guy that has a lot of potential in that bat.
Light tower power.
He's one of the guys that may have one of the purest swings that we've seen in a long time.
And the benefit of having both of them, Davis a left-hander, Shook a right-hander, so Rodney Hennin can play matchup once you get to late in games. And I also think that Shook's going to have to start at least at some point over these next few weeks as Ledford continues to come back. And I think that they are eyeing that Troy series to begin conference play to get Ledford back. That's going to make for a really good lineup if you can somehow use all of them, balance things out, and find an order that's going to be able to be the most productive. But I think that having Curry in the leadoff spot, which is where he always should be, it just seems that that is his spot.
Oh, yeah.
He had four more hits over the weekend. Mason McWhorter we saw go back up to the two hole. If you think back to last year, where did Mason have most of his success? When he moved up to the two hole, ended up being first team all conference, started to slug it a little bit more. After that, there's still some things I think they need to figure out, but I think it's a team that has more than enough experience that guys are going to realize, okay, if I'm hitting 4 or 5, maybe I need to slide down 7 or 8, figure out what I need to do in a given game and help my team score runs.
You think of that scenario, and it's a lot like what Austin Thompson saw on Sunday, game 2 of the doubleheader after starting the first 6 games of the season in the cleanup spot. He bumps down to the 6th spot, comes up 2 for 3.
And that's not necessarily a demotion.
No.
You're going to look at that and think, well, okay, why is he not batting cleanup anymore? It's not that he can't bat cleanup. We've seen AT hit numerous spots a freshman. He was a three-hole hitter. That's where he fit in that season. He was the first freshman under Rodney Hennin that hit third all year. Granted, it wasn't all year because he was injured, semantics, whatever. But I think for AT, he has that flexibility that you can put him anywhere. He has contact. He has power. And he shows, look, if you put me 6th, I'm going to get you some hits. If you need me back and forth, I'm going to be able to find something and give you something. And defensively, he continues to play really well. I thought Georgia Southern's infield defense on Sunday was really good.
Yeah.
They just didn't get that big hit. They had some hits. They just didn't get that big one that could have beaten a top 25 team.
And really and truly, through the first 7 games of the season, the defense overall has been really good
for
Georgia Southern baseball. We talked about it with Coach Hinnon before the season, and he said that this may be one of the best defensive teams he's had here at Georgia Southern. And for somebody that's been here for 21 years and had the success that he's had, that's saying something.
They can improve, get things back the way they should be. Tonight, playing Mercer here at J.I. Clement Stadium, and then a 3-game series as well against Radford that starts this weekend, all mixed in with basketball. We'll get to that. This little stretch is almost done. We're almost through the overlap.
But we
still have to go through a few more days, and then depending on what you and I have tournament-wise, we'll see how things go from there.
But again, Mercer will come calling tonight, a 6 o'clock first pitch over at J.I. Clement Stadium, and then 3, as Danny mentioned, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, at least scheduled, against the Radford Highlanders coming up this weekend at J.I. Clement Stadium.
That's me knocking on wood. Can they hear that?
Somebody's going to answer their door somewhere.
Come on, boy.
But that'll wrap up the recap of this past week for Georgia Southern Athletics. And it's time now as we step back into our True Blue Eagle of the Week. This week's True Blue Eagle of the Week, it's a couple of Eagles of the Week, as Julian and Francis Deal, huge supporters for Georgia Southern Athletics. Mr. Julian was an inductee of 2012 into the Georgia Southern Athletics Hall of Fame. was a member of the Georgia Southern Athletic Foundation and Southern Boosters Board of Directors and the chairman of that from 1995 to 1997. But we talked about it on a past Inside Eagle Nation when we decided we were going to do a True Blue Eagle of the Week. It was somebody like Julian and Francis Deal that really makes this program go that a lot of people may not know about.
You probably see them in most athletic events. We get a chance to catch up with them when Georgia Southern football flies for a weekend road trip. We get a chance to catch up with them at various coaches' shows. It doesn't matter if they're there to hear Chad Lunsford, Mark Byington, or Anita Howard. The biggest thing that they do, they're there. They support because they understand what True Blue means.
Both graduates of Georgia Southern and have not left and continue to support the program every single day, whether it's coming to an event, being a part of the Georgia Southern University Foundation, being a part of the Georgia Southern Board, being a huge supporter in every way, shape, and form. This week's True Blue Eagles of the Week is Julian and Francis Deal. Make sure to tune in every Monday for the next True Blue Eagle of the Week. Once again, that's our True Blue Eagle of the Week, or I should say Eagles of the Week, as Julian and Francis Deal. Love the Deals.
Yes.
Seen them ever since I got to Statesboro. They are at pretty much every coach's show that's imaginable for them to come to. Any Georgia Southern event, you always see them together. You always see them wearing blue and white.
And two that have been there since pretty much the beginning. You have those connections to the past. You have those connections to Irk Russell. And when those are getting few and far between nowadays, anytime you can develop those relationships, you've got to take advantage of it. And for people that have been here as long as they have, True Blue is probably the bare minimum that you could say about them.
Once again, the True Blue Eagles of the Week, Julian and Francis Deal. And now, let's step aside for a Beyond the Bio.
Time now for Beyond the Bio with Colin Lacey.
Welcome into another edition of Beyond the Bio here on Inside Eagle Nation, your official podcast for Georgia Southern Athletics. As we step into Georgia Southern Sports Properties, a division of Learfield IMG College here on the Georgia Southern campus, with the manager of business development in Shelly Pittman. Shelly, appreciate you joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So take us into what the manager of business development for Georgia Southern Sports Properties does.
Colin, as the manager of business development for Georgia Southern Sports Property, you know, my role is to work with different businesses, both locally and nationally, to better understand their business and how we can put their brand in front of our fans. And we do that in a plethora of ways, whether it's digital, social media, maybe it's signage, of course, radio, TV. That's based off of what fits best for that partner.
Now, I know you have been a part of the Statesboro community for a long time. You grew up in Statesboro. Statesboro has been home to you. What does it mean now to be a part of Georgia Southern Athletics and still be home here in Statesboro?
You know, Colin, it is truly an honor. I love being able to work in my community. I love being able to work with, you know, my people, the same people that I grew up with, and a lot of the same people who grew up sliding down the same hill that I did, you know, and enjoying those game day experiences. So to be able to work with our fellow business owners, again, both in the area and nationally, to be able to tie their brand to something that means so much to me, like Georgia Southern and like Georgia Southern Athletics, it's unreal, and it's truly an honor, and it requires a lot of attention to detail, a lot of manpower, a lot of hours, a lot of data, a lot of research, but we are excited to put that time and effort into it because we know at the end of the day, we're going to be able to provide a level of success for these partners that they can't get any other way outside of the Georgia Southern brand.
You've seen Georgia Southern Sports Properties from a couple of different angles. Now as the manager of business development, like we talked about, starting to grow and cultivate those partnerships with different businesses around Eagle Nation. But you've also been on the client side of things when you were part of the clubhouse. What does it mean to be able to say, I was on that side of the table as the client, and how does it help you now as the manager of business development?
Walking into this role 2 years ago, it really allowed me to have a better understanding of the needs and the desires of the partner. I was able to sit on the other side of the desk and have, you know, the understanding of these are my needs, this is how I need to grow my business, and also understanding the level of expectation as far as customer service goes, to where whenever I was on the other side of the desk, I was the manager of business development helping out the partner. It's allowed me in many ways to exceed their expectations because I better understand their desires. And it also allows me to better explain to them what it is we do and how we can help their business grow. So I think that it allows me to just be more relatable with our partners, and it allows me to better help them because I've got a better understanding of what they expect.
Now, I know a big part of what you do on a day-to-day basis is based on relationships, and that's not just on the business relationship side where that needs to be strong, but also on a personal relationship, knowing between your partners what makes them tick, what they like, what they don't like. How much does it help you, and how much do you value the relationship side of going into a business meeting and also feeling like you're going into a meeting with a friend?
Well, that's the fun part, right? So people say you never work a day in your life if you love what you do. Well, not only do I love what I do, but I love the people that I work with. We all have a common goal to help each other grow, to help each other be better. What we do is not, you know, let me sell you a billboard, or hey, let me put a sign out on the football field for you. It's far more complex than that. It is a strategic marketing campaign that fits exactly to what your goals are and how we're going to achieve them. And in order for me to be able to do that, I have to have a great relationship with that marketing director, with that CEO, so that I can continue on a day-to-day basis understanding what it is that the business needs and how we can better provide that.
Give us a little bit of your background. I know you come from the marketing side of things, but what made you want to get into athletics, and when did you know that marketing and athletics was something that you wanted to do?
I really didn't know until this position found me. Honestly, I contribute that to being a God thing. You know, he knew before I knew, but I've always loved marketing. I love the psychology behind marketing. I love better understanding of why a consumer decides to make that purchase and what it takes to get them to that point. And then you throw sports on top of that, where you already have a bought-in audience. You already have that positive affinity. So being able to help our partners elevate their brand through sports marketing has been so much fun for me. And again, I had no idea when I wanted to get into it or that that was something that I wanted to do, but I'm happy to be here now, and it's been a fun ride.
One thing that being able to work around you for the last 2 years that is obvious is that you are high energy all the time, a bubbly personality, and an infectious personality. Where did that come from, and when did you kind of decide that that was what you wanted to be?
I don't know that I woke up one day and just decided, hey, I want to be a bubbly person, or I want to, and I appreciate all of those kind words, really. I just have a love for life, and I have a love for what I do, and I have a love for helping people, and essentially that's what we're doing. You know, we're helping businesses grow. But we get to do that through athletics, and again, through that positive affinity for Eagle Nation. So I love what I do. I love the people that I work for, and I love helping people, and I guess the rest just seamlessly comes.
This segment's called Beyond the Bio. Give us something that people seeing you running around on game day, people seeing you in the office may not know, something beyond your bio.
You know, Colin, I'm really not that interesting. I'm sure there's something out there. But beyond the bio, if I wasn't at Georgia Southern games, you know, whether it be football, basketball, softball, tennis, soccer, the only other place I'd want to be is on the beach, toes in the sand, 365 days a year. To know me is to know that I love warm weather, and I love a cool breeze and a blast of sunshine. So that's kind of beyond the bio for me.
Shelly, appreciate the time. Thank you for everything that you do for Georgia Southern Athletics, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Once again, that is Shelly Pittman on this week's Beyond the Bio. For Georgia Southern Sports Properties, everything that you hear across the Georgia Southern Sports Network, whether it be a live read with the Domino's inning recap, with anything with our Coliseptic that you hear on every week's podcast, all that comes from Shelly Pittman. Georgia Southern will look ahead. Women's basketball will head to the Lone Star State. This is back-to-back weeks where I'm kind of following your tracks of where you guys have been. Did you scout out Texas well for me?
Blacks are still there.
Good.
You'll be good.
Good. We're actually leaving today. If you're listening to this on time on Tuesday, I'm somewhere in transit between Statesboro and San Marcos.
Yeah, solid move going out the extra day.
Hey, I get an extra day in Texas? Okay.
So who will you get to visit with?
I will get to visit with Brant Freeman because now he has switched over to the ESPN Plus crew.
Okay.
Get to take in some Texas State baseball tomorrow on Wednesday as they will host the Rice Owls at Bobcat Ballpark. I'll get to catch up with Brant, and then I will actually, on Friday, get to catch up with Bill Colhane and Josh Sowers because men's basketball of UT Arlington and Texas State will be in the College Park Center.
That's right.
On Friday, before Georgia Southern women's basketball plays in the College Park Center on Saturday.
See, that's how nature bounces back out.
Yeah, I've done something right. If I get to see Brent Freeman, Bill Colhane, and Josh Sowers all in the same weekend and I'm not doing men's basketball.
Toss in Jay Walker opening night at Teague Moore Field as well. You had a good few weeks.
Yeah, it's been a couple of weeks. We've done a thing.
You've done a thing.
But women's basketball will take on the...
I'm proud of you.
I appreciate that. It means a lot. Georgia Southern women's basketball takes on the Texas State Bobcats on Thursday. We mentioned earlier on in the podcast, just 3-11 in Sunbelt Conference play is Texas State on the outside looking in the Sunbelt Conference standings in 11th place, 2 games behind Georgia State in 10th, and 3 behind Georgia Southern, tied for 9th. But Texas State 10-15 overall, and really and truly led in scoring by a couple of Bobcats. 3 Bobcats averaging double figures as Denasia Hood, the sophomore out of San Antonio, using her size down low at 6'1", averaging 13 points a game, 6 rebounds per contest as well. Then a couple of guards for Texas State is Kennedy Taylor, the sophomore out of Dallas, 10 points per game, and Brooke Holly with 10 points per game, one of the top 3-point shooters in the Sun Belt Conference, one of the twins of Texas State. But Brooke Holly, now a senior out of Austin, 10 points a game, also averaging just shy of 7 rebounds per contest. So she is one of those hustle players, high energy, high motor players in the Sun Belt Conference. But this is a Texas State team, we talked about it, swept the Arkansas swing in Arkansas a couple of weeks ago, got the victory over Little Rock and Arkansas State. Last week, just one game falling to UT Arlington. But even before that, after he had a couple of Bobcats coming back from injury, had close games, it still ended up in losses, which we talked about earlier on in the podcast. Doesn't matter if you win or lose by 20 or 2. It all means the same in the WNL column. But Texas State 3-11 in conference play. Then Georgia Southern will head down to UT Arlington to take on the Mavericks and pretty much everybody back for seventh-year head coach Krista Gerlich, who will enter the matchup, who will enter the weekend tied for third in third place in the Sun Belt standings, 10-4 in Sun Belt play, 16-10 overall, and kind of an oddity in the Sun Belt Conference schedule. I know we've said that time and time again this year, but this will be the first time that Georgia Southern sees the Texas schools, and the only time that they'll see the Texas schools is the second to last week before the season ends.
Yeah, I just realized that they hadn't come here yet.
Yeah, nope.
We play Arkansas State to end the season. We're going to talk about that next week on the day of. Have not seen the Red Wolves all year.
Crazy.
That Tuesday to end the regular season, all of those matchups are between teams that have not played each other this year. I don't know how they did the schedule that way, but that's how everybody is.
Whatever works.
Baffling.
Georgia Southern men's basketball will head up on Friday to Atlanta to the third floor of the Georgia State Sports Arena. That was a game that... Danny's real excited. But that was a game that Georgia State got the victory over Georgia Southern, 82-77. We talked about it earlier. That was one game that Georgia State came back after being down early in that ball game. But now it's time for Georgia Southern. We talked about it with football the last couple of years. Getting this right. You need to get it right up in Atlanta on Friday on the third floor.
28 years. 1992 was a one-point win for a team that eventually went to the NCAA tournament. Didn't play from 97 through 09, but it's been 9 consecutive losses up there. It feels like it's been forever. Been close a few times. They've all been good games. My first year, when you and I were still doing men's together, that went to overtime. They've led at the half 3 of the last 4 meetings. But it's just something about that building, and State's really good up there. They've only lost once all season. Somehow it was to Troy, because Troy swept them, even though Troy only has 5 league wins. 2 of them are against Georgia State. I think they're 26-2 their last 28 games up on the third floor. And it being a Friday night, typically this is a Saturday afternoon game, where you've got a whole week to get ready. And granted, you still have most of the week to get ready, but this being a Friday night, I'm anticipating this being one of the more unique atmospheres that Georgia Southern has ever played in. You could say a certain thing when a game's in the afternoon, but you can just feel when it's a night game. I know it's inside, but there's just that extra buzz to it. And with these two still fighting for position, both can still finish second. Right now, it's Little Rock in first, Texas State in second place. Then there's a three-way tie for third. And there's a couple games that are going to be played earlier on this week with action on Wednesday and Thursday with a single game. Then two games on Friday. Then everybody else plays on Saturday. This one is one of the more important matchups between the two, and even more so for Georgia Southern because they blew a 14-point lead in the second half here at Hanner. And it hurt because they were better. They were playing really well on defense. They were making shots. The alley-oop to Elijah McCadden made for that 14-point lead. But after that, Georgia State just took control. Georgia Southern made three shots the final 13 minutes of the game. You had that stretch. You were with me that day. They had that stretch with 5.5 left where they had three possessions. They had a pair of free throws on a foul, two more free throws on an excessive technical, and then the ball back. Missed all four free throws and turned it over. And they were up four at that point. So if you get just a little bit there, maybe you stretch it out and State doesn't come back. But by not getting anything, left the door wide open, and unfortunately the Panthers won for the second straight time here.
But it'll be a 7 o'clock tip-off up on the third floor of the Georgia State Sports Arena. That one moved to Friday, not because of television like you see a lot of times in Sun Belt Conference on Friday. It'll be on ESPN+, but that one being moved because of Olympic trials in Atlanta on Saturday, and you know how traffic in Atlanta really goes wonderfully.
Well, you remember it was 2 years ago we were up there the day before the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We saw the signs for the Super Bowl. We didn't catch a whole lot of the traffic. I think it worked out because we stayed about a half hour away, got in there, played, and got out. It wasn't all that bad. We were expecting it to be something historic. But it just feels like it is time for this to end. State ended up winning here last year for the regular season title. That's the first time they had won here since 96. It's time for Georgia Southern to return the favor. And I will say, if the Eagles defend like they did last Saturday, they could beat anybody in this league. But all they need to do is focus on doing that for 40 minutes in a place that's been very tough for them to win, tough for anybody to win. If they do that, they're going to end this. And they would do themselves a lot of good in terms of simply trying to stay in contention for a top four. Because if they lose this game, they're probably not going to be a top four seed. And I don't mean to be doomsday about that, but it's just the truth. Even if they beat Arkansas State the following Tuesday on senior night, it's going to be really tough for the Eagles to end up as a top four seed.
And it's one of those things, you don't want to put it in somebody else's hands that somebody else has to lose in order to become a top four seed.
Now, granted, it's going to have to be that way if the Eagles want the two, but if they want top four, they may have to sweep anyway, because that's how close it is with Little Rock and Texas State only two games away, and I know there's only two games left, but remember, Little Rock has to play three games the final 6 days of the regular season in first place, and they finish up in Atlanta.
Huh.
Texas State is in second place by a full game. They finish at Arlington, as we talked about on that Friday, team that they've struggled against a lot these last couple of years. I think their only two wins the last five seasons have been in the tournament against the Mavericks, and then they finish up at South Alabama, which has won six straight games. And that's one of the teams that Georgia Southern is tied with for third place. So with all the fun that we've had in the Fun Belt this year, I think we're only scratching the surface with the end of the regular season coming up and then how the tournament's going to be. I don't know how much more we're going to play, but it's going to be fun for somebody.
So we mentioned earlier Georgia Southern baseball with a four-game week coming up. As tonight, if you're listening to this on time on Tuesday, it'll be Georgia Southern against the Mercer Bears. Mercer battled back for a victory over Radford on Sunday. They come into this matchup 8-0 after a three-game sweep to start the season over Maryland Eastern Shore. It was supposed to be a four-game series, a lot like Georgia Southern had with Ball State. Played the first three, won the first three, and then Sunday was canceled due to rain. Had two-game series sweep over Florida A&M, 7-5 and 7-2 on Tuesday and Wednesday this past week, and then a three-game series victory over Radford up at Ortho Georgia Park in Macon. So they will come in 8-0 to this matchup, and that always seems to be a long game. You always seem to see a lot of pitchers.
Lots of pitching changes when the Eagles and the Bears get together in the midweek. That's how it always is, because the coaches are the same. Greg Gibson's in year 17, Rodney Hannon's in year 21. Just how it is.
It almost seems like an old SoCon matchup with Georgia Southern and Western Carolina.
Yeah, Bobby Moe knows how to change those pitchers, boy.
Have I ever told you that whenever we would get into a long game that would be a blow out one way or the other for Georgia Southern baseball, when Ryan Chambers and Chris Draper were here, my first year, we would play the game of how many pitchers has Western Carolina used. Chambers and Draper would take guesses, and I would look up how many pitchers they've used. I would give them the score in the inning, and they would have to guess how many pitchers that Bobby Miranda had used.
All right, quick sidebar from my Citadel days.
Mm-hmm.
2013, in the conference tournament that year, and Alan Beck and I still talk about this because Alan was the hitting coach for Western that year. That would have been my second year calling Citadel baseball games. In the tournament up in Greenville that year, I can't remember the exact inning, but they made pitching changes on four consecutive batters.
God, Rob Manfred wouldn't like that.
No. Hims wouldn't like that too much. But I remember thinking that the Bulldogs had loaded the bases, so every guy on base was on a different pitcher's line. That didn't happen very often.
No.
But I could just remember, okay, guy would reach, here comes Bobby, change. Guy reach, here comes Bobby. Next guy reach, you could bet, here comes Bobby again. There were four pitchers for four batters in the same inning, and the Citadel ended up winning that game 13-12. It's one of the best baseball games I've ever seen.
Wow. But again, 8-0 are the Mercer Bears as they come down to J.I. Clement Stadium tonight. 6 o'clock, the first pitch from Statesboro. And then this weekend, it's Georgia Southern against the Radford Highlanders. Gotten to see a lot of Radford over the last couple of months. Saw them in basketball earlier on for Georgia Southern men's hoops. But they come in 3-4 on the season. They will have a midweek game at Virginia Tech on Wednesday, but have lost their last four. Fell last midweek to Liberty, and then as we mentioned, Mercer swept them up at Ortho Georgia Park this past weekend. Started off the season 3-0 after a pretty dominant victory in all three games over North Carolina Central at North Carolina Central, because you can't imagine that Radford, Virginia is the best place for baseball at this time of year as far as weather is concerned. But nonetheless, they will come into J.I. Clement Stadium Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
I just think it's odd that the next two Georgia Southern opponents just played each other last weekend. That doesn't happen too often.
Yeah. Go up to Coach Gibson and be like, hey, you got a scout on Radford here for a minute?
What do you think about those Highlanders? anything you could feed us or anything? But Radford was down in Macon. They're going back to play Vautech, and then they're coming right back down to play Southern this weekend. For Mercer, I think they were 9-0 to start the 2014 season, so this is not atypical. Typically, they get off to pretty good starts, and they schedule a certain way, and that's part of the reason why they get to 35 wins for the last 10 years, and they're one of only four to do that. Remember a year ago, they didn't have two of their best hitters. Lee Bassett and Brandon Michi were both out for the season due to injury. They still got to 35. They made a run in the SoCon tournament, won the tournament, and went to the Athens Regional before they went 2-done. But not only do they have everybody back outside of Kel Johnson, thank God, but they've got Michi and Bassett back for what could be one of the best offensive teams that Gibson has had, and they're typically among the national leaders in numerous categories. Now, they do have to remake that pitching rotation, not that Georgia Southern sees Mercer on a weekend, but they don't have a whole lot out of the bullpen from last year, but what they do have is someone that you may know very well in Hunter Phillips, who was an Eagle as recent as the 2017 season. Remember, he injured his elbow against the College of Charleston a few years ago, had Tommy John surgery, made that comeback, ended up transferring to South Alabama, and this is his second year at Mercer. He's off to a phenomenal start. He has 15 strikeouts in 6 1/3 innings.
That'll work.
And he has been their closer. He has 2 saves so far. So I would anticipate if this game's close in the late innings that Phillips is going to be able to pitch on a mound that he knows quite well. But we'll see if Georgia Southern can prevent that from happening. And then this weekend, Georgia Southern gets Radford. Last time the Highlanders were here, it was a 4-game series in 2016. Georgia Southern winning 3 of those 4 games. Radford does have 7 position players coming back. New head coach, Carl Kuhn, after 16 years as Brian O'Connor's pitching coach at Virginia, he goes over to lead the Highlanders. Guy you got to watch out for is J.D. Mundy. Preseason player of the year in the Big South. He had 13 home runs and 17 doubles last year. The offense goes through him.
But again, 4 games this week for Georgia Southern.
All at home.
All at beautiful J.I. Mercer on Tuesday, and then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday scheduled for the Radford Highlanders. Before we wrap up this edition of Inside Eagle Nation, got a couple of news notes to get to. As earlier on this weekend on Saturday, Adrian Peterson was officially inducted into the Georgia Sports Hall of Fame. Our roving reporter Terry Harvin had all the coverage on Twitter.
That's better than we usually call him.
Terry, a key part of the Georgia Sports Hall of Fame up in Macon, and a heck of an event. You had the jacket ceremony on Friday night and then the official induction on Saturday up in the Mid-State. But a great honor for Adrian Peterson, who just keeps on rolling them in.
Georgia Southern Athletics Hall of Fame, College Football Hall of Fame alongside Tracy Ham, and now Georgia Sports Hall of Fame. Completing that trifecta, there are not many people that are more deserving of any honor than Adrian Peterson. That's why he's the GOAT.
We've got one more, I'm not going to call it a news note, but a happy birthday to send out. Yesterday, if you're listening to this on time on Tuesday, on Monday, it was the head man himself's birthday. Chad Lunsford turns 40-something.
Happy birthday, Chad.
But again,
I'll see you in August.
A busy week for Georgia Southern Athletics. Thursday, it's Georgia Southern women's basketball against Texas State out in San Marcos. Friday, it's Georgia Southern men's basketball up in Atlanta to take on Georgia State. Saturday, women's basketball back in action against UT Arlington on Saturday. And then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Georgia Southern baseball in action against Radford. Tuesday tonight, if you're listening to it on time, it'll be the Mercer Bears at J.I. Clement Stadium. We'll have all of it all across the Georgia Southern Sports Network, as always. But until next week, for the voice of the Eagles, Danny Reed, this is Colin Lacey saying so long, everybody.
You've been listening to Inside Eagle Nation, powered by Learfield, the official podcast of Georgia Southern Athletics.